Yeah, that's the presidents of the United States of America. All of them.
Really?
Yeah. And they got together and they did a kind of indie band for a while back in the 90s. And that was one of their first big hits.
Really? Wow. I know the names of all the presidents of the United States of America in order.
What are they?
President Reagan, George Bush, Bill Clinton,
Tony Blair.
Tony Blair. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good, man. That's impressive knowledge.
Thanks. That's right back to the beginning of history as well.
The dawn of time.
The dawn of time.
Reaganomics. Hello, this is Adam Buxton.
Hello, this is Joe Cornish.
Very nice morning here in London if you're listening live. Hope it's nice where you are. Very windy, though.
I think it's windy across the country.
Windy.
And I should warn you, last night I was sitting in the street in my car, like I do every now and then.
Good times.
And I looked out the window and a man opened the door of his van.
Mm-hmm.
He opened it into the wind, so to speak.
Oh.
A very strong gust of wind caught the door.
And blew it right off.
Immediately pushed it back and buckled it. And then he couldn't close it again because it wouldn't fit back in the frame.
Everyone lives in fear of that moment.
It was like his life had been suddenly ruined by a completely unpredictable, sudden force of nature.
There you go.
And about a minute later, all his friends were gathered around and they were trying to ram the door shut.
Yeah.
They were trying to sort of batter the metal back into shape.
Wow.
It wouldn't happen. It was like seeing an animal's arm wrenched off.
Oh.
It, were the car an animal?
Yeah.
And were the door an arm?
That sounds amazing.
Mm. So be careful out there.
It was a hurricane. Would you say it was a hurricane?
My neighbour's motorbike fell over.
It's a hurricane.
He hasn't woken up yet. He's going to be angry.
It's a tornado, in fact, I would call it.
It's the wind of death.
The wind of
They're
death.
Calling it the wind of death.
That's what they should call it in the papers. Because, you know, after the earthquake...
Gusts of gloom.
The gust of gloom. There's catkins and twigs all over the road this morning. Gust of Satan. It was windy. It was quite scary, though. Did you get scared last night? Windows rattling?
No.
I got a little bit scared. I woke up, I was having rattly dreams. And I woke up and...
Rattly dreams.
All the dreams were going rattly, and I realised it was just the wind. Should we have some music? What a show. We can tell them about the show in a second after...
What a show.
After the kills with, or just kills, dunno, with Cheap and Cheerful. Kind of like a very excited marching band there who've been sniffing some Ajax or something.
She works on a production line making cars and she got very angry one afternoon and started hitting things. They recorded the sound. That's it.
And that was the Kills, of course, with Cheap and Cheerful. And she's very attractive, isn't she?
Really?
Yeah, lead singer of that band. And she used to go out with the guy in the band, right? They used to be married even, I think. No, I'm just making that bit up. But they're not together anymore. It always amazes me when people are married like supposedly Jack and Meg White were, and then they got divorced pretty much as soon as they started getting well known, and then they forge on, you know? It's got to be strange, don't you think? Like, if you don't like each other enough to be married, how would you be able to withstand the pressures of being in a successful band?
It's just business, isn't it?
Just business.
Keep bread on the table.
Exactly.
It's a professional working relationship.
It's like you and me, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like a couple of robots, you know?
A couple of stupid robots.
Yeah.
So, folks, what a show we've got for you this week. Great music as usual and wonderful chattel and chittle, but also the return of Song Wars. And let me remind you that the theme for our return to Song Wars this week was, Joe had to do a French song about...
Hang on, but before we get into that,
yeah.
Can I ask you, are you angry with me for, sort of foisting, because I did a bad thing, I sort of forced you live on air.
Right.
To bring Song Wars back, and that's a bit, you know, if I was, responsible, I would have asked you off air, politely, so you could have said no without seeming like a sourpuss.
Mm-hmm.
But I sort of, blackmailed you into it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I must say I slightly resented it this week when, there was, you know, it was like the third day that I'd been working on the song and I'd got nothing
it's good
else.
Though.
It's not good. It's insane again. It's demented. If you listeners heard my last effort, which was the, anti-piracy song.
That was good.
Which was okay. I had its moments, but it was quite odd.
So I detect a little bit of false modesty here.
No, I'm genuinely, you know, the thing is that I saw you earlier in the week, Joe, and you said that you'd got yours done quite easily again, and I bet it'll be very good.
I didn't say it was easy.
Did you not?
I just said it was.
Anyway, no, I'm glad. I'm glad that Song Wars is back. I think it is. It's good. It is fun.
And the theme this week is foreign songs about actresses. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Did you drop the actress component?
Absolutely not. I stuck to the rules.
I didn't. I stuck to the rules as well. So, and it's a weird thing. It's quite difficult.
Yeah.
Quite difficult to be interesting in a foreign language.
It's the most difficult Song Wars
difficult
I've ever done.
To rhyme in a foreign language.
Impossible. Did you use Babel?
C'est impossible. Yes, I did.
You did.
That's a little preview.
The problem is that when you use these kind of online translation sites like Babel, if you type in the English phrase, it does a kind of manglerized translation.
Yeah.
So if you say a word like, she looks nice, then it'll kind of do a literal translation.
Of each word.
Of each word.
That's
so you'll
okay.
Get...
That's how my lyrics have been written.
Right.
We're also looking for a Spanish person and a French person who might be able to help judge our songs. If you speak fluent French or Spanish, give us an email, adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk, or text us 64046 with your phone number. We will call you back, get you on air, and get you to judge the quality of our songs. Adam's is in Spanish, mine's in French.
And yours is about which actress?
All of them.
All of the French actresses?
Yes.
I thought it was going to be Isabella Gianni.
No.
Oh.
All of them.
Well, mine is about Penelope Cruz, because I
said that's sexy.
She's so boring.
She's sexy. Boring is sexy.
Anyway, well, you'll find out. When are we going to play these songs? Probably we should play them within the next...
Half hour.
15 minutes?
15 minutes.
Or, okay, maybe
stay
around
tuned.
About a quarter
you never
to
know.
10 or something. Now, here's a track that I've chosen for you, listeners. This is DJ Magic Mike. Ever heard of DJ Magic Mike?
Nope.
He loves to scratch, and he's on XL Records, and I got this CD sent to me ages ago by XL Records. I think it came out about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe, and it's good, and it's just pretty hardcore scratching right the way through. But given that, it's quite wicked, and I hope you agree, listeners. This is called The Master Gets Busy by DJ Magic Mike. Grandmaster! That's DJ Magic Mike with The Master Gets Busy. And you heard what samples in there were you hearing, Joe?
I think there's a bit of... it's either Main Source or Tribe Called Quest at the beginning there.
And that drum beat he's plundering there, I'm pretty sure, is from Sweet Pea by Tommy Rowe.
We've broken it down into components.
Broken it all down
into
for you.
Into ingredients.
I'm totally wrong about it being on XL. I think maybe XL had something to do with it, but it's on Mo Wax.
The album's called The Journey Era of Bass, Part 1.
It's impossible. It's an impossible job. Doing this show.
Wrong.
So here's a trail for you now, folks.
6 weeks.
That's the tiny Minneapolis midget Prince. He's entirely purple.
That's racist, man.
Is it?
Yes, racist. You're out.
Against what?
Against the purple.
The purple people.
The tiny purple people.
Oompa Loompas are purple.
That's very racist.
Is anyone else purple?
To use the word
Which
Oompa
Mr.
Loompa.
Man was purple?
They're not called Oompa Loompas
Mr.
anymore.
Mr. Nosy? Mr. Worry? Humpty, Jude is saying. Humpty is not a Mr. Man.
All the Mr. Men books have been banned.
Mr. Uppity.
For being racist.
Really?
They're very racist.
They're so racist. Everyone's
so
racist.
Good old Prince, eh? Oh,
well done, Prince.
Well done, Prince.
Good old Prince. Come here, Prince.
Good
well
job,
done.
Prince Harry I'm talking about.
Good old Prince Harry. Yes.
He's coming
face,
home. He's coming home. He's coming. Harry's coming home. That's the cover of one of the newspapers this morning.
Really?
That's what it says.
Really? How does a man's nose get that red?
Harry.
I suppose he's been in the sun.
From drinking port in the sun.
That's true.
That's what he does out there. They got him out there. They got him a deck chair. He sits there in the sun. He drinks a lot of port. That's not true at all. He was right in the thick of it. He was doing amazing work, and he only just escaped being blown to bits, and he's back in one piece. Thank goodness. Good. Nice to have you back, Prince. You're a genius.
Harry.
From Minneapolis. No, I'm talking about Prince.
Prince.
Yeah.
Prince has been... What? He's been stationed in Afghanistan.
Prince is in Afghanistan.
Really?
Yeah. He's singing to...
There's a media blackout and we're breaking the story.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
He's never coming home, though. Not until he records a decent album. They're not letting him back.
He dodges bullets by doing the splits.
That's right. He's a genius.
And then he does a twirl and repels them back.
He's got the skills. Should we play some more music? Now, this is a band...
Brilliant. Hit it.
They're called Guillemots, and this is Get Over It.
What a frightful racket. They need to go to bed early tonight. Get some sleep and do some reading.
That's the Guillemots with Get Over It. That'll be released as a single on March 17th. And that's available on their new album, Red, the second album, which will be out on the 24th of March.
Thanks, man.
Guillemots news there. Get Over It, that's not a phrase you hear that much anymore. It was very in vogue a few years ago. It was a sort of Queenie phrase, wasn't it? Get over it. A bit like, talk to the hand, because the face ain't listening. Girl!
It's very aggressive voice.
Denial ain't... That's what it's like sometimes.
You're like an angry transvestite.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
At 3 a.m. on the New York subway.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's what they used to do. I'm not sure that the angry transvestites probably have
you do.
New lingo. Maybe it is what I do.
At 3 a.m.
Yeah.
On the underground.
I get my dress on, I go out on the underground and I say, talk to the hand, because the face ain't listening.
It's nearly time for the news, but remember, Song Wars is coming up. The relaunch of Song Wars. We've already had a couple of emails. Brian in Norfolk says... Okay, steal yourself, Adam. Adam's song is rubbish, and Joe's is much better. ... Not really. You haven't even played them yet. I just want to hear Adam have another on-air breakdown.
Come on.
But I do love him.
Yeah, yeah. Listen,
Brian.
I'm not going to rise to any of that. I'm going to take my defeat with good grace if it comes. We won't know, of course, until next week.
Ted in Londres says, can I preemptively vote for Adam's song? I don't want another Buxton Paddy to end the Song Wars fun. What does that mean?
Paddy, it's like a little pathetic meltdown.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're both going to struggle to match the Concorde's French song, though. The Flight of the Concorde, did they do a French song?
Yeah, they did. It was very good. Fou du fa fa.
Fou du fa fa. Uh-oh.
Yeah, but ours were about actresses. No, you know, come on, the Concorde, they're geniuses. We're not in their league, but we do our best, and you'll hear what we've come up with within the next half an hour. But now it's time for the news.
On digital radio and online, BBC Six Music.
Harry's coming home, US boost for...
That's The Rapture with The House of Jealous Lovers. That's one of those songs when it comes on, sometimes it comes on my iPod, and the beginning makes me want to switch it off.
It doesn't come on my iPod.
You have to weather the first few seconds. And then it becomes enjoyable.
That's from Echoes. Sorry, mate. Submit information.
I know.
Information clash.
Right.
Right.
You
go with one bit of... information at a time.
I was going to say this is Adam and Joe.
It's like Thompson and Thompson hosting a radio show.
Have you seen the cartoon version of Tintin?
Yeah.
And you know it's all mainly Canadians doing the voices.
Is it?
And I think it's...
Well, it's a Belgian creation, of course. Right. Hergé was Belgian.
Right. Well, it's a terrible stew of accents and influences on the cartoon version. And Thompson and Thompson, they've got the worst... British accents I've ever heard. They're totally manglerized British accents.
Really?
I might try and record them and bring them in. My son really
sounds
likes
quite
it.
Good.
They're quite good, yeah. And Tintin's voice is very odd as well. I can't really do a good impression.
Canadian
of it.
Voices are odd. It's a very odd accent.
Yeah.
Very difficult to do an impression of a Canadian.
That's right.
I find.
Yeah.
I don't really know anyone who does one.
Maybe we can get a sort of pathetic sounding Canadian to phone in and we can laugh at them.
That's a really good idea.
That's a good idea, isn't it?
It could be a regular feature.
Yeah.
We just, you know, announce a type of person.
Yeah.
They voluntarily call in.
And we can laugh at
them. We just mock them.
That's a good idea.
That's a good idea.
We could do it on TV, too.
Just noises.
Like that.
Yeah.
Whatever they say.
What is it about those two notes that are so risible? That wouldn't have made Close Encounters quite so good, would it?
No.
If that's how they'd communicated with the aliens.
That's right. Yeah. Is good, but have you tried... I think you'll get a more immediate response
they'd get
from
a
the
different,
aliens.
They'd get a different finger reply
you know,
from
my,
the aliens.
My children are obsessed with the Simpsons movie. They rate it highly, and my youngest son... Natty, who's coming up to his fourth birthday, has latched on as a role model to Nelson, the bully, who goes,
uh-oh.
Ha ha! And that's all Nat does now, is go around just sort of going, ha ha! In a really unpleasant way.
It's a useful tool in a child's arsenal.
Yeah, but he's not got to, you know, he's got to disavow himself of that particular tool, because otherwise he's going to get in trouble. Already we're getting notes from the teachers.
Really?
Yeah, saying he's being a little uncommunicative.
He's a bad breed.
He's like Nelson. He's latched on, he's watched the whole of the Simpsons movie and thought, there you go, Nelson. He's the guy I'm going to be. He's the king. Ha ha!
I think he's cool.
He's quite cool. So listen, folks, after this next track, it's Song Wars time. We're going to be playing you our new Song Wars tracks. My Spanish track about Penelope Cruz and Joe's French track just about all French actresses. Coming up after Susie Sue. Haughty. That's Susie Sue with About to Happen. Now it's time for...
It's time for Songs Wars. The War of the Songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of proms. Which will you vote for? Which one is the best? We're putting our songs to the listener test. So check it out.
It's the return of Song Wars after an absence of, what, 3 weeks or something? 3 weeks. What a terrible, parched, arid, desert-like stretch of time it's been.
Oh, it's lovely.
The listeners have been clawing
lovely
through.
Lovely relaxing holiday is what it was.
Cracked mud, searching for morsels of musical sustenance. They've found nothing. Now, these lovely moist sandwiches of Sonics will be presented to their gobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, the theme this week, ladies and gentlemen, is songs in a foreign language. Yeah. I chose French.
Musical
Adam
nerd.
Chose Spanish. Just not because they're languages we're fluent in, but they're the foreign languages that we've got the greatest grasp of.
Right.
Meaning very, very limited grasp of. I studied French to what's called O-levels. Do they exist anymore?
No.
Don't think so. Beyond that, rien.
Rien. Pas du tout.
Pas du tout.
I...
Your mummy is Spanish, isn't she, a little bit?
She's, from Chile.
That's Spanish, isn't it?
They speak Spanish. They speak a form of Spanish.
Yeah, so
but
there you go. It should be a shoo-in for you.
Well, you'd think, wouldn't it?
But we expect nothing but the best.
When she moved to the UK to marry my dad, she stopped talking Spanish altogether to us, and we never grew up with it as a second language. She's a horrible person.
She dreams in Spanish.
Yeah, she probably does, exactly. But anyway, the hangover of the language is still there, I hope, a little bit, but I still found it very hard to write a whole song in Spanish. So who's going to go first? We're going to toss a coin.
Yeah, if the foreign language thing wasn't difficult enough, we've also chosen as our theme foreign actresses.
Now, listen, man, can I ask you first before we hear the song is, did you just do silly French phrases and not even bother to make them make sense?
No, I know what my song is supposed to mean.
Okay, right, good. Mm. Just checking, because I would have got a little bit haughty about it if you had.
However, we do have some bilingual listeners, or a bilingual listener standing by. We're not, we got two of them. We're not sure of their identities. We're going to come to them later in the show. So we're just going to play the songs unfettered by any comment.
Yeah.
And we'll do that business later in the show.
Okay.
We're going to toss a coin.
Going to toss the coin. I call heads.
I call tails.
To go first or second?
To go first.
Okay, heads to go first. It is...
Tails.
It's tails.
Cornish goes first.
The corn plaster. Thanks.
The corn dog.
So here we go. My song, as usual, it doesn't have a name. But you've got to imagine yourself in Paris or in France... On a beautiful, sunny morning.
Sur les Champs-Élysées?
Yeah, those are some of my lyrics. You've just preempted that. That's a clue to how sophisticated it is. You're in France, and you're obsessed with French cinema, and you're looking around you, and everywhere you look is a beautiful French actress. And you decide to sing a little song about it.
And this is what you hear.
J'adore les actrices françaises. Juliette Binoche, avec une brioche, flânerait le long de rive gauche. Paris, je t'aime. Regardez Béatrice Dalle et son ami Pascal acheter du pain de boulangerie. Ah, les baguettes. Et voici Catherine Deneuve. Avec la finesse et le verve, marchant son chien Fifi en parc. Bonjour Fifi, et bonjour Fanny Ardon. Avec beaucoup d'argent, faire des omplettes dans la Champs-Élysées. Ah, le Fanny. À toutes les actrices françaises, je m'appelle Joseph. Voulez-vous faire l'amour avec moi?
Non?
Ok. Vanessa Paradis, oh là là, en vacances à Nice, manger une glace citron sous la plage.
Oh, citron.
Et voici Sophie Marceau, au
reposé sur une pédalo. Lecteur, la nouveau scénario de Françoise Ozon.
C'est pas mal.
À toutes les actrices françaises, je m'appelle Joseph. Voulez-vous faire l'amour avec moi?
Non.
Oh, zut alors, et le poupidou.
That's the end. I saw you making little notes in a book, and suddenly I felt like I was 12 and in French class again.
Yeah.
And you were making...
Well, I was just writing down the phrases that I thought you would have had to actually go to an online translation site for. Because most of them, acheté une baguette.
What does that mean? It's important, though.
And what were the other phrases in there? Fais l'amour, et poupidou.
I had a new word, omplette.
Omplette, what's that?
I had... flânerie.
Right.
Yeah, that was some sophisticated.
It was sophisticated. You must have jumped for joy and danced a little jig when you found that sample on GarageBand, the guitar
singer. It's a cheesy loop, but it's the only one that sounds anything like a French.
It's nice. Yeah. You've got the birds singing and...
I put them in.
Little seagulls there when it's time for the pedalo. The trumpet is nice coming in there.
I tried to paint an oral picture.
You did, man. What an oral picture
you
it was.
You did. It was. You done it all over the floor.
Pointillism. Was that, you
Pointillisme.
Know? Pointillisme.
Yeah.
I liked it. Okay, so here's my song. This is about Penelope Cruz, and it was tough on both counts, because I've got no strong feelings about Penelope Cruz. And also, I found it very, you know, I got obsessed with the idea of making the Spanish... words rhyme and stuff, and in the end it all just went weird, as tends to happen with me. So this is my song about Penelope Cruz.
I can smell this person's soul, and I want to get to know him, you know.
Penelope Cruz, me gusta si estaba en vanilla sky y gótica y blue. Y volver que no he visto y otros no he visto, se parecen embotados, pero ella es bonita.
Yo soy Penelope Cruz, hola, yo tengo pelo negro y ojos hermosos, pero veneno yo tengo. Estaría alegre conducir un alegro y después haga una mierda gigante. Penelope Cruz, me llamo sin mis largas pestañas fueron hechos para ti. Penelope Cruz, me llamo si estaba en Sahara y Capunco de mis mandolí.
Perdóneme, es mi estómago ácido. Ay, caramba, era un almuerzo largo.
Penelope Cruz, me llamo sin mis largas pestañas fueron hechos para ti. Penelope Cruz, me llamo si estaba en Sahara y Captain Corel mis mandolín con mi cage.
So it's a proper Spanish song, you see.
Your accent's very good. I mean, I wouldn't know what a good accent is, but it sounds very good. And that's the main thing. I picked up some stuff in there.
Yeah.
Captain Corelli, Sahara and Vanilla Sky, bad stomach acid.
Yeah.
And a burp. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, because other than that, it's impenetrable unless you're a fluent Spanish speaker.
Spanish. Well, handily, we are going to be playing those songs to people who speak fluent Spanish and fluent French in the third hour of the show after 11 o'clock at some point. Don't forget the voting, though. That's the key thing. During the show, as it goes out live, you can vote via text 64046. If you're listening via Listen Again, then vote via email, adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. The winner will be announced at the beginning of next week's show.
Now, here's a track that you've chosen, Joe.
Yeah, what is it?
A bit of Fiasco.
Yeah, it's a bit more Lupe Fiasco. I bought this album when I was on holiday, and it's got about four good tracks on it.
That's all you need, man.
Is that all you need? Is that the usual standard these days?
If an album's got four good tracks on it, I'm happy.
Some albums in the old days, they used to have
all
like
good tracks.
12 good tracks
no,
on them.
Not anymore.
Sometimes it's like making friends, isn't it? The people you make friends with at a new school on your first day are not the same people that you're friends with at the end of your time there. Do you know what I mean?
Of course, yeah.
Fast friends are often, you know, not the best friends.
No, the shallow
ones. The ones you're not sure about at first, but then...
The quiet ones, the weird ones.
I'm drawing a comparison there between tracks, so who knows. But this is a good one. It's called Paris, Tokyo, and it's from The Cool, Lupe Fiasco's new album.
I know... know, but I gotta get up out of here, you know.
What a terribly confusing series of sounds.
Welcome to Art Zone, where today we present you with a confusing series of noises in order to challenge your preconceptions of the nature of music and sound here on the BBC.
We're trying to get a job on Resonance. We think it's a better station.
Yeah.
And we want to go over to Resonance.
So,
possible.
So we deliberately picked that Gideon Coe session track there of Hot Chip playing over and over, a very weird version of Over and Over.
I started punching Adam Haddock.
Yeah.
And he fell on the mixing desk.
Yeah.
He's dressed as Napoleon, of course.
And then all kinds of strange sounds started coming out of the desk.
The kind of stuff that's going to be going down on this show in
future. This is what we get up to, because we don't like rules.
We're situationalists.
We hate the rules, you know. If we find some kind of rule book, then if we can, we'll tear it up.
We rip it up.
The problem with the rule books at the BBC is they're very thick, so it takes a while. You have to slightly saw them, saw into
when
them.
When I see an envelope,
right,
I love to push it.
Just push it.
I've pushed envelopes.
Over to the edge of, right to the edge of the table.
All the way. If I envelopes.
Yeah, exactly. You love pushing them.
No, edges. I cut them.
Yeah. Are you finished?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, incidentally, not Resonance. That was Hot Chip, as we said. And the voting lines are open now for Song Wars.
Now, there's a sort of a trend showing in the text votes here. People seem to think that my French song is very like the Concorde's French song.
I wouldn't say it was
I haven't heard the Concorde's French song.
What are you doing?
I swear it, man. I don't know. I've seen a lot of Concorde's, but I've just missed that particular episode. Sorry. I mean, people seem to think my French song is a bit page one, you know? And some people like it very much. Other people like your song. They think it's more imaginative, but they find it slightly scary.
Well, it is slightly scary. I mean, it's very odd. It's like
somebody's
a howl
described
from a disturbed
it as
mind.
A sort of serial killer in a basement who's about to stalk and maybe hurt Penelope Cruz in some way.
It starts off very creepy with a low voice, and it's all minor chords and it's creepy sounding.
Sinistre.
Mm. Well, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're not attempting to build an argument against that. You're just.
No, I'll put my hands up to that. It's fair enough.
I hold my hands up.
Holding my hands up, bruv. Yeah? That's totally fair enough.
Yeah.
Geez. Now, the gossip. What do you know about gossip?
Well, it's very destructive. Mm. It's petty. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, everyone has to do it because it's a way of, you know, making decisions and analysing your relationships with people in your immediate circle without hurting them.
People who gossip are scientifically proven to be more popular than people who do not gossip.
Well, it is an important function of you know, socialness.
Sociality.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, if a person doesn't gossip, then they are seen by their peer group as being rather boring.
Boring.
Slightly
person.
Boring. And
that's why Heat Magazine's so successful.
Exactly.
And so very good.
So wicked. Good. And anyway, being boring is not something you could accuse Beth Ditto of.
No.
She is wild.
She's too interesting. I get bored with her because she's so interesting. Is that possible?
It is possible, it's absolutely possible. Anyway, see what happens when you listen to this. This is Standing in the Way of Control.
Text the nation. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
At some point, it'll be time for a rebranding of the show, won't it? Like new jingles. Not for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll hire a consultancy firm. Have various surveys done.
We'll pay a lot of money.
A lot of money.
I mean, several thousand pounds. And then the company will come back with some jingles that are slightly worse than the ones that we used to have. And
we'll be very happy.
But then after another 6 months, we'll bring back the original jingles and call them classic jingles. And also pay a little bit more money to the company that suggested we do that.
But for now, the classic jingle will have to suffice.
Yeah.
And it's time for Text the Nation, here with Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music on this glorious Saturday morning.
Or if you're listening again, this depressing Wednesday afternoon.
Mm. So the theme this week is car adverts.
Yeah. What's your favourite car advert at the moment, Joe Cornish?
My favourite car advert is a new one I saw this week. And it starts with just bits of cars, like a door, a bumper, an engine, and it kind of pulls out wider, and you realise that they're being played like instruments.
Oh, how imaginative.
It's brilliant. And then it pulls out even wider, and it's a whole orchestra of car parts.
That's the exhaust pipe.
Is not the tune they play, but it's something similar.
Yeah.
And then we were watching this, and me and my friend, stroke friends, were trying to guess what the tagline was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would have something to do with perfectly tuned.
Very good.
Yeah, but it ended up being something else. I can't remember. Something about harmony, maybe.
Right.
Like the road and your wheels in perfect harmony. It wasn't that. It was something like that. But, you know, I'm a bit obsessed with car adverts because basically all cars are the same, right?
More or less.
I mean, they vary in quite, you know, small ways. And so it's difficult as an advertiser to figure out a new way to present something that's basically just a tin box on wheels.
Yeah, exactly.
So they have to think of all kinds of elaborate things like a car as a cake.
Uh-huh.
What are the other very famous ones? Kind of innovative car advert.
Well, in the olden days, they used to be much more based on personalities and stuff. Like, what was the French girl called?
Oh, yes, Papa.
Papa.
What was she called? Mimi.
Nicole.
Nicole.
Nicole, of course.
I think she was called Mimi.
Mimi.
Yes.
Papa. Mimi.
That's true.
Nicole. And there was, not so long ago, there was the chap from Holby City, Jeremy Sheffield, who I have had various encounters with.
Yes.
You're a regular listener to the programme. And he did an advert where he was going off and romancing a French lady, wasn't he? And that was all about cars.
Yeah. There's also the cake one that divides people. I forget which car it's from.
Well, that's the thing. You can never remember what the car is.
No.
I can't even
And we're
remember.
Not in the business of advertising the car companies. Cars are evil.
They are evil.
Mm.
And also anyone who likes cars is evil.
That's
by
very
extension.
True.
Like Jeremy Clarkson.
And slightly dull.
Exactly.
That's not true.
That's not true. That's
we'll just alienate all the car-loving listeners.
That's a humorous generalisation there.
Yeah,
calm
that's
down.
That's not true.
Just
Why did you
down.
Say that, Adam?
I was just taking your lead. You started me on it.
I said
I only say
sort.
Stuff if you think it's cool.
Adam.
Anyway, so, what do you feel about the cake one? Do you like that one?
Well, there's a website called Pimp That Snack, isn't there? And I'm convinced that just some young advertising honcho went on Pimp My Snack.
Mm.
And all those people do is they just apply car advert, all day, car advert, car advert. Everything they look at, car advert,
right.
car advert. To try and work a new idea into a car advert.
Oh, well, there was was it for Volvo? The one that nicked the idea of that, a film called The Way Things Go, a German film, where it's basically a sort of art film. And it's got, like, big bits of wood kind of knocking each other over and then chemicals spilling onto each other. And they did it with all, like, parts of a car, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it was, they did a good job.
Really? That won loads of awards. That was nicked, was it?
That was nicked, yeah, off The Way Things Go.
Oh, no.
Great German art film.
Well, we want you to try and come up with a new idea that's never been done before for a car advert. That's the subject of Text the Nation. The text is 64046. I think it's gold dust. If you can come up with, like, a genuinely new way to present a car advert, then you could become like a millionaire in the advertising industry.
Almost certainly people from the advertising world listen to this program because we regularly have these kinds of phone-ins.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine that they've nicked quite a few big money ideas off us. And
this is
listeners.
More of a job opportunity
exactly.
than a text. It's certainly not a competition than a text event.
Yeah.
I thought of one, right?
Yeah, what was yours?
Hamsters on a wheel in a cage.
Uh-huh.
It's a kid, and instead of little hamsters, he's got one of those, elaborate hamster runs.
Right.
With all sorts of tubes and wheels and things.
Ooh.
But there's little cars in there.
Little cars.
And that's all I'm
They're
thought
going
of.
Round and round.
Yes.
How is that good? How does that project a good image?
It's just
of
new
the car?
Because the kid loves them. And the
You're saying that the cars are
cars,
like
no,
hamsters.
Wait. They do tiny plops. The cars out of the exhaust pipes.
Right.
And the kid cleans them up. And it's about being good for the environment. Okay, you come up with better ones than this. 64046 if you can. Is this idea a goer, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I've got some ideas I want to tell you about.
All right,
but let's hear the sound of Elbow first of all, why not? Yes. This is Grounds for Divorce. That's Garvey and the Boys, Elbow with Grounds for Divorce. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. And we are in the midst of Text the Nation. Subject this week for Text the Nation, we're asking you to text or email us about car adverts. Where next for the car advert? How, you know, what kind of revolutions can you inject into the crazy world of car advertising? And it's a hard thing to do because you would think pretty much everything's been done.
There's the guy that uses a car as a skateboard.
I just remembered
that one. Do you remember? He's like a giant man.
Yeah.
And he's sort of, like, ollieing the car around and stuff.
Are there any car adverts that you're genuinely fond of, unironically?
No, I detest them all.
Yeah, they're all awful, aren't they? This is one of the few ones that I can actually remember the brand for, although I won't say it, but it's the one where they're in the factory and the cars are being sprayed by the robot arms.
Oh, yeah.
And then suddenly one of the robot arms kind of starts getting creative and painting the car in a wacky way, which links into the name of the car.
There's cars playing hide and seek. Right. There's that weird gang of stuffed toys that
I hate them.
Live with that
very
sexy
much.
Lady.
I sincerely hate the stuffed toys, and I want to kill all of the stuffed
really?
Toys. Yeah, and I would do it. I'd go to prison as well for a long.
Really,
you know, for as long.
I think
as
you're
took.
Right with stuffed toys.
Really,
I don't think that's illegal.
If one of them turned out to be sentient, though, property damage, possibly. Yeah, but even if I was going to get long time for hurting all the toys,
really,
I'd go away for it.
There's the Transformers one, where they turn into robot men and
start skating.
Skating on the ice or dancing around.
Which stole some of the thunder from the Transformers movie a little bit, didn't it?
I think it helped. It was piggybacking synergy.
Yeah, it helped.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, it helped. It was all a conspiracy by Sheba LaBeouf.
Yeah, the beef man.
Sheba Beowulf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Dog food in a different film.
So here's my idea for a car advert. This would be shocking, because there was a time when... Oh, and here's another... This is one ad that I slightly enjoyed a little bit, because it was very short. The thing about a lot of car ads is they go on forever. But a really nice short one was what looked like a giant, frightening spider emerging from a web and then emerging from the shadows, scuttling out from the shadows. And as it scuttled out, it transformed brilliantly by means of just a cut, I think, into the car. But it was beautifully executed.
What was it saying?
It was saying that the car was like a spider, actually, which reminds
me... Is that a good thing?
Which reminds me of those ludicrous ads where the cars all turn into, you know, like a snake, and one of them turns into a spider and crawls around. And
yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're all sort of 4x4s and stuff. Mm. I've done a hilarious
spoof
of one of them on my website, on my YouTube channel. You can see it. I've revoiced it brilliantly. But those kind of ads drive you nuts. But I liked the spider one. That was a good one. But here's my idea for what you could have. This would
yes.
be shocking. Are you prepared?
I'm ready, man.
This is going to be very shocking.
Pitch me.
Okay. Hospital room, right? Beep, beep, beep. Mm. Surgeons all gathered round.
Mm.
A woman screaming with pain, in agonizing pain, in the throes of giving birth. Right? Pan down. Pan down, close-up shot of a crucial lady zone.
No, this would be banned.
And it would be banned, but it would have a lot of cachet around it. It would be big on
yes.
the net.
You're talking about the Bermuda Triangle.
I'm talking about, yes, exactly, the happy zone. And close-up of the Bermuda Triangle, and guess what comes out? The woman gives birth to the
Bermuda Triangle. Look at it from my angle. Bermuda Triangle.
Very good. And so is that how it went? And the car would pop out, and they would slap the car's exhaust and wipe all the gore off it, and then the car would be presented to the mother, and she'd drive home in it.
How big is it?
And she wouldn't even need a baby seat. So that would be good, wouldn't it?
It's like a David Cronenberg director. Cronenberg could direct it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a flesh car, though, would it?
Maybe.
Maybe that's the new environmental direction.
It'd start
flesh
off
car.
Fleshy, and then it would harden up.
What a frightening idea. That's a brilliant
hard
idea.
Carapace.
That they make flesh cars.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of breed them in a weird... Oh, this is all getting a bit dark for a Saturday morning. So anyway, get your ideas in, exactly. Listeners. Text 64046, email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. There is no prize, because this isn't a competition. They're banned in the big British castle. It's just kind of like a group of friends just...
chatting to each other.
Stroking each other's
exactly.
parts.
Exactly. Here's a track I've chosen for you, friends, while we stroke each other's parts. This is a band called The Feelies. They're kind of seminal... arty pop band from New Jersey from the early 80s. I believe their first album, Crazy Rhythms, came out in 1980. And I came across them because we did Vinyl Justice on our show ages ago when me and Joe used to go around and raid people's record collections for our TV show. And we did it with Nick Hayward from Haircut 100. And this was one of the albums that he had. And I thought it was really interesting. He was playing us a couple of tracks. And sure enough, it's a smash. And other fun fact about the Feelies, they turn up in the film Something Wild. Jonathan Demme, I always liked that film. And they play a band who are at a high school reunion there while Ray Liotta's poncing around with all the other ponces in the film. But they're good. And I hope you enjoy this track. It's called Far Say La by the Feelies. Good stuff, man. That's the Feelies with Far Say La from their album Crazy Rhythms.
Yes, it is. That's true. What you said just then is right.
And very shortly after this next track and the news and some more music, we'll be coming back with your texts for Text the Nation.
Harvey Cook, the newsreader, sounds very laid back today.
The cooker.
The cookster.
He's on low simmer.
He certainly is. He's making the news very sexy.
Mm.
Even if it's troubling news.
Harvey doesn't let the news get to him. That's
he really
the thing.
Well, he's read so much
exactly.
horror.
He's seen it all.
That he's inured.
Inured.
Inured. He is, he's developed a crusty outer shell.
That's right.
Makes him as tough.
A crusty news carapace. We'll be hearing Harvey's crusty carapace after this track by the Future Heads. This is the beginning of the twist.
You know, I prefer the version of that song that they re-released for the film Pretty in Pink. They remixed it, and I bought it on 12-inch with Andrew McCarthy and all the guys from the Breakfast Club on the front.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you went to the record shop with Andrew McCarthy and all the guys from the Breakfast Club.
I wish. Because a lot of the boys at school that bullied me and their Winkle Pickers with their Jesus and Mary Chain
and their
passion,
drain
they liked the Psychedelic Furs, and I didn't. Because I was a bit of a ponce. And then when I saw Pretty in Pink, I thought, yes, I can buy a Psychedelic Furs record and honestly, genuinely like it.
And you rushed
even
back
though
with
it's
it.
The Poncy remix. I walked into school with the 12-inch under my arm. Of course, by that time, the hard lads had gone off the Psychedelic Furs.
Yeah.
And it was used to torture me.
And they beat you with
they
your copy
me,
of Mirror
They beat
Moves.
Me into a genius.
Yeah? There you go. Now it's time for...
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
There are some extremely good ideas coming in for car ads. Mm. I think we should maybe form a company with the listeners. A collective...
Yeah.
It could be sort of profit-sharing collective. We could be like a think tank. And because we already do this, obviously, with Text the Nation, the results
are sent to the government.
But we should start making money from it.
We really should. Because, you know, you and I aren't averse to the odd bit of dabbling in the dirty world of advertising.
Yeah, anything.
And we could really clean up if we did some directing, maybe.
We need some sort of a registration process for the listeners. You know, so their names and addresses are registered, their bank details. We'd send them an online security email. They'd click the link and fill in their details,
and
as you do.
And if we do the ad, we can pay them, what, £5?
No, we'd you know, divide the profit between the number of listeners.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Like Marks and Spencer.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Anyway, there are some very good ideas. Are you ready for some?
Yeah, go on then.
Okay, here we go. This is a slightly filthy one. From Kings and Russ, our car advert would involve long lingering shots of two older cars at it.
Mm-hmm.
Petrol dripping from the exhaust of a post-coital Ford Fiesta as it dismounts from a golf cart. Before cutting to the birth of our new vehicle, A Toyota Prius.
There you go.
That's quite good, isn't it?
It's a big article.
It's a late night one.
Prius in the Prius.
That's the, is that the hybrid one?
Yes, exactly. Anton Corbin drives one.
Does he? And what is that? What are we supposed to think about that? Why did you say that?
Well, because there's a big article about it.
Who cares about him?
People care.
Who cares?
All people who like control and films and pictures.
Oh, right, he did control, didn't he?
Yeah, he's a genius.
Yeah.
He drives one. Sandra Howard, 64, drives one.
Who's she?
She's a columnist and author.
Oh, she's wicked.
She lives in London. And William Kendall, the organic farmer, drives her.
Kendall. Bill Kendall.
Yeah.
Billy Kendall.
That's a very good idea. Very good idea. Yeah, you know, Lily Allen would like that. She'd probably play that as a clip on her show because it features two things rutting.
Yes.
And she'd giggle.
She would. Nat in Camden.
Yeah.
This could be your son, Nat. He's left home.
He's gone
to live with Pete Doherty and a couple of lads wearing winkle pickers and top hats in Camden.
Buying Ganesh products.
And he started texting his dad's show.
Yeah.
Roadkill type animals, for example, a hedgehog, gleefully driving and splatting people on their windscreens.
Genius.
Okay, that's a very good reversal.
I feel like maybe that's even been done. That's so...
Woodland creatures driving cars... Humans like insects. I mean, splatting on the windscreen.
I don't know that's been done, but if it hasn't, that's just a great idea.
Tagline, it turns your world upside down, says Nat. I'm not sure about that tagline.
It's good enough, man.
Do you think?
Yeah. You shouldn't overestimate the public.
You're right.
You should never do that.
Here's another one.
Don't give them any credit.
This is from Liz. This is really good.
Uh-huh.
Rural scene. Lovely car driving along. We pass little groups of roadside animals. Crows, sheep, pheasants. Close-ups show that they have little binoculars and identification guides. As our lovely car goes by, little squeals of delight and awe. Sententious opinions about they have seen mixed with wild admiration. Don't know what that sentence means. They're animal versions of bird spotters.
Yeah, sententious thoughts about what they've seen. Right, so they're all being... Yeah, they're nerds.
They're nerdy. But that's pretty good, isn't it? Like little I Spy books full of cars.
Yeah.
And the woodland animals. I mean, that's very cheeky because the cars kill the animals.
Exactly. That's the deeply
idea
cynical.
deeply cynical, but therefore a bullseye.
That's right.
For genius. The car industry.
Absolutely.
The devil's industry.
These are really good. Let's have some more after this Supergrass track, why not? This is Bad Blood. Supergrass with Bad Blood. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Now, we were talking about the cynical world of car advertising before, but it competes pretty well with the cynical world of television in general, and particularly MTV. And I never thought of MTV as being a particularly cynical channel, did you?
No, but MTV reached a kind of nadir at their last awards where Kanye West, I think, walked out.
Right.
Because he complained about how he was being treated. And Timbalcake, and various other people took the opportunity to protest about MTV not playing any pop videos.
Right.
The fact that it's just turned into the most kind of, is exploitative the right word, but very kind of shameless TV channel.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's certainly the word for Carrie Katona's program, which is called Crazy in Love, I think.
I've seen posters for this showing her in a straitjacket.
She's heavily pregnant and she's in a straitjacket.
Always a good combination.
It's great, isn't it?
Great for the kids.
And she's sort of strapped. It's like one big straitjacket for her and her partner. I don't know the name of her partner, who looks a little unsavory. He may be a very nice person. But he's behind her, and she's sort of staring defiantly down her nose at people, like, you know, sort of saying, yeah, so what? I'm a complete lunatic, and I'm in a straitjacket, and I'm heavily pregnant, and may well be an unfit mother, but who are you to judge me? Why don't you watch my program and find out the truth, kind of thing?
Very provocative.
Well, that's putting a positive spin on it. I mean, it's one of the yuckiest posters I've ever seen, one of the most unpleasant images that I can ever think of. You know what I mean?
What about the show itself? Did you watch that?
The show itself certainly lives up to the yuckiness of the poster, I would say. Because they make a big song and dance about the fact that she's been diagnosed as bipolar, right? Which is what...
It's all the rage right now.
In the olden days, it was called manic depression, or you'd say that someone suffered from manic episodes or whatever.
Britney Spears has got it.
Well, some people are saying that Carrie Katona is like the British Britney, you know.
Ah, who's saying that?
Oh, people.
A vagrant.
I read it in Grazia.
Grazia?
Yes, there was a copy of Grazia and I read it.
Anyway, I'm not calling her the British Britney. But I think that it's a shame that no one's looking out for her, because it's a really weird show. Okay, so if she really is bipolar or manic depressive, whatever you want to call it, that's not a condition that should be taken lightly, and she certainly shouldn't be making a grotesque, boring reality show on MTV if she's suffering from that, surely.
Yeah, maybe pop culture is attempting to smash a taboo that shouldn't be smashed.
Right. But then if she genuinely isn't suffering from it, that's even worse, that she would go around just pretending to be ill in that way, and it's just bizarre. I was watching the show, and she seems to be permanently pregnant, but not only pregnant, but...
It's all that Iceland food she's got
right
in there.
She's not actually
Have you seen
pregnant.
What she has at Christmas?
What is she? Yeah, she has
she
a lot.
Has. She gets 9 of every product in Iceland.
That's right.
Spreads it, and then she invites all these people around in gaudy sweaters.
Yeah.
And they just all eat and puke and eat and puke and eat and puke.
It's like Mr. Creosote.
And the ice cream she has, it's got cheese and fish fingers in it. There's combinations of turkey and, I don't know,
And you don't
spaghetti.
Even have to defrost it.
No, you don't have to defrost it. You just shove it in the kids. Not even in the mouth, just in their faces. They love it. And then they all smoke fags and... go and swing on tiny little swings.
And then they get pregnant. And then they get a reality show.
What a life. Then they go mad, get mentally ill, and it's all thumbs up. Good. They get a series from MTV. Ka-ching. Wow.
You've talked me round.
You know what? We're being so censorious when this is exactly what we should be doing.
Exactly.
To get ourselves back in the public eye.
I'm a crusty old
You
butter.
Get mentally ill.
I'll
get pregnant. We'll buy a whole lot of food from Iceland. We'll call MTV. Bish, bash, bosh.
It's a plan.
Success.
Sweet. Have we got some music now? This is Joe's choice, right? Have we got the correct version of this? Joe's very particular about his versions.
We're big Prefab Sprout fans, and we were asking the other week what Paddy McAloon is doing, and one of the things he's done is get together with Thomas Dolby and remix Steve McQueen, one of their best albums, and it's out in the shops now under the second disc that's got Paddy doing acoustic versions of some of the tracks from there. So here's one of those. It's Appetite.
That was The Who with Pinball Wizard.
Yeah. There's a documentary, a new feature-length documentary. It may not be new, but I saw it on a plane all about The Who. I didn't know much about The Who, but it was, well, wicked. And I think their first managers were a couple of guys who were actually looking for a band to make a documentary about. So they started managing them, and from the very beginning they started filming them. So there's lots of really good footage of their very, very first gigs and stuff. I learned all about them.
Wow.
I learned about what was innovative about their music. I didn't really know that much about Keith Moon, but what an incredible figure he is.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Footage of him is amazing. And it's a really good doc. It makes you really feel for them. And as it was getting towards the end, I was thinking, well, they're going to smooth over Pete Townsend's trouble that he had a few years ago. But much to its credit, they don't. Much to his credit, they don't. They talk all about it. It's really good. I can't remember what it's called. We'll find out. But if you're not, even if you're not a fan of The Who, it's a very satisfying rock doc. I'm Joe Cornish. Good night.
I wonder if it's out on DVD at the moment, or is it a theatrical thing?
I don't know. It's on a plane. They exist in another world, don't they?
You have to go on a plane to see it.
You can't go on a plane to
see it. Seems a little bit
much. It's part of The Who's new green drive.
There you go. Well, we'll find out more and let you know, because I'd like to know about that. Anyway, it's time for...
Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Have we got time to do this? Is the news at noon? Yeah, we got time. Okay, Text the Nation is all about car adverts. We're asking you whether you can think of a new idea for a car advert. We're thinking that they've all been done. You know, so much so that some of them are ridiculous.
Yeah, well, we're just curious about where the world of car advertising might go next.
My theory is if you can think of a genuinely new way to present a tin box on wheels, then you're in the money. You're on the fast track to a high-powered job in the advertising industry.
Ooh, I love a high-powered job.
Yeah.
Now, come really? On, give us some ideas then.
Okay, here is one from Philip and... to a lesser extent, Lara is written in brackets. I like the way that Philip is, from the outset, making sure Lara doesn't get too much credit. Sure, she's there, but don't get too excited about her, because it's all about Philip.
She's just a runner.
He says, P.S. We're copywriters in real life. No, really. Okay, get this. My car ad would be like Fantastic Voyage, or whatever the B-movie was called. It was called Fantastic Voyage.
Where they get injected into the body of a patient.
You could also have Inner Space.
Yeah.
The 80s kind of reversioning. Yeah, a bunch of trendy young people, brackets, but not too trendy, so you can tell that they don't do drugs very often, close brackets, get into the new Ford whatever, and then zoom into someone's mouth before having a fantastic voyage, quite literally in said person's bloodstream. Eventually, they come out of his or her rectum. The caption is, the new Ford whatever, it's in your blood.
It's in your blood. He's thought of the tagline first, the and then worked backwards.
The person they drive around should be some cool celeb, possibly Dermot from Big Brother.
Yeah, he'd probably do it.
He probably would do it. He'd let you film his rectum.
He certainly would. Come on.
I love that word.
Rectum.
I don't. I hate it.
That is a good technique, though, if you're in advertising, of course, is just to think of
just to nick a film.
Think of the aphorism or the phrase, you know, popular phrase, and then work backwards there. Think of the literal translation of that phrase in visual terms.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay, so what would the literal translation of this phrase be? The new Ford car, more comfortable than a bra. What would be going on screen for that?
More comfortable than a bra.
A woman wearing cars on her boobs. Even I could think of that one.
Yeah, and it would be demonstrating how capacious the back was.
Exactly.
The hatchback feature.
Yeah, how good the support was, the suspension.
That's a good idea.
That's good, thanks, man.
And you'd get a celebrity who was famous for her large balcony area.
What's her name from? Kenny Everett.
Clio Rocos.
Yeah.
For the new Renault Clio.
Yeah.
You know?
It's all coming
sexist. Is that sexist?
This is very expressed a sexist.
Is it?
Here's another one from a man who lives in Peru. Or maybe doesn't live in Peru. Grew up in Peru. And this is a bit tangential. He's called Pedro Juan Bancos Gringos. Can that be real?
No, that can't be real.
Oh. Do you think this whole thing's a joke?
Yeah.
That's not going to read it, then.
Oh, let me read it.
Wait, no, we'll do it. I'll show it to you in the next record.
Oh, all right, then.
Here's another one, then. This is good. This is from Chris in Durham. Here's a selection of ideas for car adverts. Cars made of cheese driving along roads made out of crackers. You see, he's got a whole new visual environment there.
Absolutely.
And one that we can all associate with. Cheese and crackers.
Yeah.
You're not a fan of cheese, are you, Adam?
Personally, I don't like cheese, but I love crackers.
Here's another one. Russian dolls. I.e. a super mini inside a small family car, inside an estate car, inside a 4x4, inside an articulated lorry. That's good, isn't it?
That is good.
These are all from Chris in Durham. Monkeys driving cars off cliffs is another one. What? I don't quite get the idea of that, but it would certainly be spectacular.
Yeah.
People would talk about it.
That's all you need.
People love monkeys and nuns and midgets. You can't fail.
Exactly.
Perhaps one advert could amalgamate all three ideas. Chris, you are on fire. Get yourself down to Purvis, Tottenbridge and
Wendell Farm.
Wendell Farm and get a job. Do you want another one?
Yeah, let's have one more and then we'll play some music and wrap up Text the Nation thereafter.
From Colin and Fanny. This is really good, Colin and Fanny. Again, I think you deserve a high-powered job in the advertising industry for this. A whole series of kids' car toys. Scalextric. Now, has anyone done Scalextric with real cars? Have they done it? And if not, why not?
Yeah.
You'd have to strike a deal with whoever makes Scalextric. Who is it?
My dad.
Your dad? You'd have to strike a deal with Adam's dad. Pull back and go cars is another very good one. Yeah. Remote controlled cars. Someone must have done that, surely.
I feel like that's been done, surely.
Giant people, remote controlling cars. Those matchbox cars on tracks that loop the loop. Yeah, with tiny people inside.
Like Hot Wheels.
Exactly, like Hot Wheels. These are really good ideas.
Yeah.
Most likely accompanied by Kids by Kylie Minogue or Robbie Williams' Children. What? Oh, no. Kids by Kylie and Robbie or Children by EMF, followed by the slogan, makes you feel like a kid again.
Right.
Yeah, that's quite good, isn't it?
It is good. I feel like you've seen that too obvious. It's still good. I like where you're coming from. It pays to be obvious in advertising. Let's have more of those, finally, after this next track. This is the Black Keys with... No, it's not the Black Keys. Why would we play the Black Keys? We've got a Black Keys embargo
this
here.
This is a disaster.
We don't. It's
we'll
a joke.
We'll never win that award now.
Oh, don't... No, exactly.
Curtis Mayfield.
Curtis Mayfield with Move On Up. Curtis Mayfield with his cover of the Paul Weller classic, Move On Up. That's just a little joke there.
It's a tiny one. It's Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Coming up in any of the seconds, what are coming up is going to be Song Wars. That was well spoken, wasn't it?
It's a good little bit of grammar.
Thanks, mate. We're going to have two callers that speak foreign languages on the phone to judge, ratify, approbate. Is that a word?
Don't know.
Our songs. That's exciting. Take it from me.
That is exciting.
I know about excitement.
I'm worried that they won't be able to hear all
don't
the
worry.
Words I've packed in
just
there.
Don't
properly.
Worry. It's just not worth worrying about anything. It's Saturday.
That's true, isn't
Stop
it?
Stop worrying.
It's a nice day out there,
yeah.
Listeners.
It's all going to
Has
be cool.
Has the wind calmed down? Are those workmen being blown off the scaffolding over there, or are they okay?
Looks okay.
Everything's fine.
Who had the blustery day? Was it Winnie the Pooh?
Yes.
He's having a lovely day today.
Is he?
Yeah, just imagine you're Winnie the Pooh in your red boots.
What happened on this blustery day?
Just had a wicked time.
Did he?
Blown about the place.
Umbrella
I had
fun.
A kite. Umbrella.
Piglet floated off on a balloon.
That sounds horrific.
The balloon was full of glue. Piglet was in a in an alley.
It's like Enduring Love.
It's like Enduring Love. They were holding onto the balloon. They didn't know when to let go.
Piglet let go and he came and his legs
torso
was all
crushed.
Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, dear.
Traumatized and then he's got stalked
by... Hey, there are kids
him.
Listening. You might freak them out.
Sorry, kids.
Sorry, kids.
Not true. None of it happened. Piglet's fine.
More music?
Yes. Here's the British Sea Power.
It's time for songs, wars. The war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. Which will you vote for? Which one is the best? We're putting our songs to the listener test, so check it out.
Yes, it's Song Wars time. This is the part of the show where Adam and I both individually, in isolation, compose a song on a chosen theme, and then we play them both to you, and you vote to vote for which is best.
That's as simple as you can put it, really.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to vote right the way through the week. So if you're listening to this show with the Listen Again facility, then, of course, it's no good texting, but you can email your vote. And the winner of Song Wars will be announced on next week's show.
Yes. Now, this week's theme is foreign language songs. I did one in French. Adam did one in Spanish. We're going to start with my song. And we have a fluent French speaker on the line to kind of assess... my song. His name is Aiden.
How are you doing, Aiden? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, yes. Bonjour.
Bonjour, Aiden. Ça va?
Ça va bien, et vous?
Yeah, wicked tar, mate. what, you're a French teacher, is that right?
I am indeed, yes.
So you're charged
16
with...
16 years, my own boy.
Really? And are you good? Do your pupils like you?
They hate me.
Do they really?
No, some of them love me.
And Aiden, are you the kind of teacher... What's your surname, incidentally?
Doherty.
Doherty, so you're Monsieur Doherty. Monsieur Doherty, do you make them call you Monsieur Doherty?
I do indeed, yes.
Are you one of these
Pardon,
teachers?
Monsieur, je peux aller à la poubelle.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, excuse me, sir, can I go to the bin?
Exactly right.
For example.
Do you, so you speak French all the time in your classes? What, you would walk in the room and everything you say would be in French, is that right?
Well, yes, mostly. Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Apart from things like, why do you not have your homework done?
Yes.
Which needs more directness. You know.
Yeah.
But if they start...
But apart from that, yeah.
Yeah, if they start speaking in English, you say, En français, s'il vous plaît!
Of course.
Right.
And have you
yeah,
taken
sure.
Have you taken expeditions to France?
Not for a while. You see, I teach in Coleraine, which is away up, it's about 4 million miles from France.
That's a long
way. We don't have the channel.
Right. That's
you have to
true,
go through England. It really is 10 days camel ride.
Plus, it's a liability, man. You take the teens out there, they get all crazy hot
yeah,
up on
Yeah, that's an important part of anyone's childhood is,
that's
is
true.
A trip
and then
to France.
The flick knives that everybody wants to buy.
Yeah, that's
the,
true.
The what?
New flick knives. You can buy flick knives.
Oh, man. France is full of illegal
the flick knives,
things. The fireworks.
Throwing stars.
Yep, the loose women. All the presenters of that program, loose women, they're over there, and anyone can snog their flabby old faces.
Absolutely.
Hello?
So let's hear Joe's song, and Aiden, listen very carefully. We're going to want you to tell us whether you think Joe's use of French was A, accurate, B, creative, C... Well, give us a C.
Fun.
Fun! Okay, yes. So here's his song all about the lovely actresses of France.
Okay.
Ah, j'adore les actrices françaises. A Juliette Binoche avec une brioche flanant le long de rive gauche. blanche, Paris je t'aime. Regarde Pierre Cristal et son ami Pascal acheter du pain, de boulangerie. Ah, les baguettes. Et voici Catherine de Nord avec la finesse et le verve, marchant son chien Fifi en parc. Bonjour Fifi et bonjour Fanny Ardon. Avec beaucoup d'argent, faire des omplettes dont la chance lisait à la famille. À toutes les actrices françaises, je m'appelle Joseph. Voulez-vous faire l'amour avec moi?
Non?
Ok. Vanessa Paradis, oh là là, en vacances à Nice. Manger une glace citron sous l'arbre.
Oh, citron.
Et voici Sophie Marceau, reposée sur une pédalo. Lecteur, la nouveau scénario de Françoise Ozon.
C'est pas mal. À toutes les actrices françaises, je m'appelle Joseph. Voulez-vous faire l'amour avec moi?
Non.
Oh, zut alors, et le Poupidou.
I'm not sure le Poupidou is an actual commonly used French phrase. Is it, Aidan? Can you tell us that?
It's not particularly.
Oh, le Pompidou. Oh,
it sounds a bit like Pompidou, which is
le Pompidou.
The big shop in Paris.
Not. Is it a shop or is it not a Richard Rogers designed art gallery?
It
area?
Is, but you can buy things on it.
The Centre Pompidou, yeah, it's got a gallery shop, hasn't it?
It has, yeah, you can buy pencils.
I've out-Frenched you there. I'm more French than you are, mate.
I'm just, yeah.
So, Aidan, how was the grammar that Joe was using in there?
Okay, now, I have to turn teacher here, obviously, gentlemen, so a couple of grammatical errors.
Mm-hmm.
Not very many, just a couple.
What were they?
Actrice, as you know, is feminine plural. So, toutes les actrices. As a
well, that's what I said.
You said toutes les actrices.
Toutes les
fair enough.
I'm taking it on the chin. Taking it on the chin, sir.
Yep.
I might follow you home and
the only
egg you.
The only other thing was voulez-vous. I think you said fait l'amour. It should have been fair. It should have been the infinitive,
being,
not the past participle.
So how would you
but
say
again,
that?
I'm very happy with it.
How would you say that, sir?
Voulez-vous faire l'amour avec moi?
Down to a B, I think.
Down to a B. What would you grade that? How would you grade that, monsieur?
Well, apart from that, as I say, you did more or less what I would tell the kids in school. You stuck with what you know, and you kept it simple.
Babelfish.
8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. B plus.
Give him a B.
Aidan, thanks very much. That's
no
very
problem.
Kind of you to cooperate in this stupid charade.
What? It's a tiens plaisir. He's talking to you in your own stupid language.
Don't talk to me like that, or I will ram a baguette in your nose. but thank you very much indeed, and good luck with your teaching. You're
thank
a
you
great
much.
Man. People like you should be celebrated more than the actors at the Oscars.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They should do some kind of film with Robin Williams.
About you.
About you.
Yeah.
Cheers, Aidan. Thanks
very much.
Didn't sound very excited about that film.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Now, we will do the same thing with my track. We will be talking to a Spanish-speaking expert after this by the new Young Pony Club. This is The Bomb.
The new Young Pony Club with The Bomb. Not the old Young Pony Club or the old Pony Club. No, no one cares about them anymore. It's the new one.
That's the song about Dan Sing.
Are they going to have to rename themselves when they're not new anymore?
Exactly.
I used to have a stuffed toy when I was a child called... I called it Newy. Because it was new.
Newy.
And, I thought eventually I'd have to call it Oldie, but I never did.
No, that'll be fine. The Young Knives will be the Young Knives until they're 60, and that's the way it goes in rock and roll.
So we're in the midst of Song Wars, our weekly battle of self-composed songs, this week on the theme of a foreign language. I've done mine in French, Adam's done his in Spanish, both about actresses, and we are playing the songs to some fluent foreign language-speaking mentors.
Can speak the language.
So who have we got on the line?
This is Lydia Pollock on the line. She lives in Barcelona. She's actually listening to this programme in Barcelona. Hi, are you there, Lydia?
Hello, hola, buenos días.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
What are you...
Muy bien. ¿Y vosotros?
All right, thanks.
What are you doing listening to this when you're in Barcelona?
Well,
shouldn't you be out sunning yourself?
I was just doing some work, and I got up early. I didn't go out last night, so I got up early doing some work, and then I'm off to a barbecue. So it's kind of
what's
doing
the weather
on a Saturday morning?
How's the weather in Barcelona?
Oh, it's lovely. Yeah, it's quite hazy.
Yeah,
but it's warm.
What a
about
life.
20 degrees or so.
Are you? Is there any time difference there in Barcelona? You're 1 hour ahead, aren't you?
1 hour. That's right. Yeah.
I'm imagining you in a kind of sexy silky dress. in a sort of a tiled front room with very beautiful furniture, and it's beautiful outside the windows.
Windows are open.
Sunny, there are exotic birds fluttering in and out.
Yeah, that'll be pretty much accurate.
That's it, and there's a bowl of paella on the side. And
no, it's a bit early for lunch, you see, really? They have lunch a bit later here.
Yeah. You've got your castanets by the phone there.
You're calling.
That's right, yeah.
What do you do for a living in Barcelona there, Lydia?
I'm a teacher too.
Are you?
Like the previous caller, yeah.
Like Aidan, and what do you teach?
Well, I teach English, not French or Spanish.
Okay, right. So you teach English to Spanish students.
That's right, yeah.
And obviously you are fluent in Spanish. How long have you lived there?
I've been here for about 7 years now.
Right, okay. And it's
for a long time.
Yeah, very enjoyable, I would imagine. I love Spain, and I really wish I could spend a good amount of time there so I could get back into the language. But
he's hitting on you, Lydia, and he wants to stay at your house.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was getting
at. Can Adam come and stay at your house and touch you in the
Adam
night?
Adam or Joe or both?
Just Adam.
Touch you in the night. Why did you have to add that on?
Because everyone knows that's what you're thinking.
Now, Lydia, let's
might
get off
the accident.
Let's get off this whole jag, shall we? And I'll play you my track. This is a track that I've written entirely in Spanish. I really laboured hard to try and get some rhymes in here, and it's fairly densely worded. So the grammar of the thing.
Yeah, I did listen to it.
Right.
I did listen to it, and I listened to it with my flatmate as well, who's Spanish.
Lydia, hold on to those judgments, because we're going to hear the song again. And then we're going to find out exactly what you think about it. So here we go.
I can smell this person's soul, and I want to get to know him, you know.
Penélope Cruz, me gusta si estaba en Vanilla Sky y Gótica y Blue. Y Volver que no he visto y otros no he visto, se parecen embotados, pero ella es bonita.
Yo soy Penélope Cruz, hola, yo tengo pelo negro y ojos hermosos, pero veneno yo tengo. Estaría alegre conducir un alegro y después haga una mierda gigante. Penélope Cruz, me llamo sin mis largas pestañas fueron hechos para ti. Penélope Cruz, me llamo si estaba en Sahara y cabutunco de mis mandolín.
Perdóneme, es mi estómago ácido. Ay, caramba, era un almuerzo largo.
Penélope Cruz, me llamo sin mis largas pestañas fueron hechos para ti. Penélope Cruz, me llamo si estaba en Sahara y Captain Corel, mis mandolín con mi cage.
So there you go. I was trying to do a little Penélope Cruz impression there, because she has a very particular way of speaking, and it's sort of the, I use this word too often, but quintessential kind of Spanish,
I can't believe you used that word again.
Accent, sorry, man.
Boring.
Yeah.
Lydia, are you still there? Have you taken your own life?
Yeah, hi.
You're there.
Wow.
Good. So listen, let's start with your understanding of those lyrics. What was that song about? I didn't understand a word.
Well, the song was that he was basically going through, Penélope Cruz films, and some that he hadn't seen, like Volver.
Yeah.
Right. What was the first bit about?
I don't know. I didn't catch all of it. And as I said, I listened to it earlier with my flatmate, and we didn't really catch
so
all
you
of
were
it.
Both... So, hang on.
Her name is Penélope Cruz.
Let's get this straight. You're both fluent Spanish speakers, and
well,
you understand it.
Spanish, so yeah.
Well, I'll say this for you now. It says, yo soy Penélope Cruz. Hola, yo tengo pelo negro.
I am Penélope Cruz. Hello.
Okay, Penélope Cruz, I've got black hair.
Yeah. Y ojos hermosos, pero veneno yo tengo.
That's why, because you see, you shouldn't pronounce the H.
What
it
does that say?
Hermosos.
Hang on, translate it.
I did
hermosos means I've got beautiful eyes, he's saying.
Yeah.
Pero ojos negros y hermosos. Black eyes, black and beautiful eyes.
That's
but
right.
They're didn't understand because he pronounced the H.
She didn't understand.
It should be a silent H.
Got to be marked off. Got to be marked off for that.
Damn.
Baffling an actual... That didn't happen with my guy.
And how about this then? Obviously, remember it's a family show. Pero bene no yo tengo.
Bene yo no... Ah, okay, right, yes. As she said, I don't have a penis.
Yeah, there you go.
That was quite a good play on words there.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Slightly obvious, but...
Well, how about this then for a play on words?
It's never obvious, though.
Estaría alegre conducir un allegro.
I would be happy driving a... What's a allegro? What's allegro?
It's a car, isn't it?
I'd be happy driving an allegro.
You know nothing about Penelope Cruz.
She would be happy.
She's making abstract statements that could apply to anybody.
Y después haga una mierda gigante.
Yeah. Can I say that or not?
No, don't say the actual words. And afterwards, she would go to the loo in a big way.
Yeah.
This song is lowering in my estimation. It's filthy.
And how about this? This is actually based on an incident in Penelope's life. Mis largas pestañas fueron hechos para ti.
Okay, so she's saying that my long eyelashes were made for you.
There you go.
Was that an incident in her life?
Yes, because she did this...
I wouldn't call that an incident.
No, she did this L'Oreal ad for this eyelash stuff that was supposed to make your eyelashes look longer, and it turned out that they'd stuck falsies on her for the ad. It was a scandal, and I worked it into the song in Spanish. I'm a kind of genius.
Well, that deserves points.
So Lydia, listen, in a sort of brief few seconds, tell us what you thought of that song. 8 out of 10, for instance.
8 out of 10, I'd give it 7.5.
Oh,
miss.
Oh. A, B, or C, plus or minus?
I'll give it a B plus.
A B plus.
Mm.
Lydia, thank you very, very much indeed for joining us.
My pleasure.
We're privileged that you're listening.
Oh, can I just give my love to my family?
No,
of course.
Absolutely
not. Can I give my love to Sophie, India, Colin,
the kids, and anyone else
down in Wales?
No way.
I just miss you all loads and see you soon.
Sorry, no, it's not the kind of thing we do. thanks for calling. Here's the news read by Harvey Cook and the music news read by André Payne.
Thanks, Lydia.
On digital radio and online, BBC Six Music.
Harry touches down. Jobs.
That's REM with Supernatural Super Serious, and they're playing London's Royal Albert Hall for Six Music on the 24th of March with support from Foles and Duke Spirit, and you can win tickets to go by logging onto the Six Music website, where you will find details.
I love the tales.
I love them as well, and there's lots of them on there. So listen, it's not looking good for me in Song Wars. I just get the sense that... I've clashed with this Flight of the Conchords song that I've never heard.
Are you getting lots of comparisons
there? Yeah, people thinking I've copied it. And, I've just got to go a bit weirder in future, I think. But here's an email that came in during the week from Bill in Derby. He says, he's first of all very happy that Song Wars is back. And he says, you know, you're both very mismatched in terms of comedy song creation. Once again, Joe has tossed off yet another note-perfect parody stroke... That's a word I can't say, take, of a COD French tune. Joe can do any style. He's like Beatle Paul. To wit, Michelle, When I'm 64, Ola Diobli-da-doo-doo, and Honey Pie. I don't really know the Beatles very well. Adam, on the other hand, is like Frank Zappa. His creations are often darker and more challenging, subversive, anti-establishment. There's more of Adam in his songs than there is of Joe in his own tunes, I conclude. Joe is the populist. Adam is the anarchist, which, interestingly, runs counter to your apparent radio personas, that of the eager-to-please Adam and the en-soussant cynical Joe. Intéressant. With these deconstructions in mind, I'm voting for... I shan't read that out. I was going to stay a secret.
Oh.
So I'm not saying I agree with it with any of that, but it's interesting. I really like it when listeners think really hard about it and analyse it.
About what we're like.
Makes me feel special.
Eager to please. I'm not eager to please. I'm not.
I'm eager to please. I love you, listeners. I love you.
I don't care about you, listeners. I think you're...
I'm not populist. I'm going to do such a weird song in the next fortnight. It's going to be so weird. It's going to out-weird your songs. Your songs are going to look like standard issue songs compared to my one.
Well, folks, after this next track, which I've chosen for you, and I will explain to you in great detail which track it is, because I'm so eager to please. After this next track, we will wrap up Text the Nation for you this week. And don't forget that we need some suggestions for future... No, you can suggest anything to us, you know, Text the Nation or Song Wars topics. Don't be shy. Keep your emails and texts coming in.
Yeah, don't let your feelings roll on by. Just text them on in. Themes, but mainly themes for Song Wars. We're going to do this Song Wars thing every other week.
That's right.
So next week we'll announce the winner and we'll also pick a theme. So, you know, it's just non-stop excitement.
Non-stop excitement, which continues now with this delightful track from Lou Reed. And this is a track that I don't think is played very often on the radio. And it's from his 1991 album, New Sensations, which was something of a return to form after years in the wilderness for Reed. But it's an album I'm really fond of. And this track is sort of romantic and it's a little cheesy sounding. He's got a sort of Mick Karns type bass on there a little bit, but it's romantic. It's about him going off on his motorbike and driving through the land, and here it is. This is New Sensations by Lou Reed. It's got a
sex music.
On the Music Week this week, we're joined by two of the music world's greatest legends. As the enemy blesses them with godlike genius status, we chat in depth with the Manic Street Preachers. Plus, who inspires music's greats? I sit down with Nick Cave to talk about his heroes and meeting Johnny Cash.
He was led down the stairs with his kind of arms out, going, Nick, are you there? Are you there? So when he picked up his guitar, and the years just kind of dropped away.
That's the Music Week with me, Julie Cullen, and Matt Everett, tomorrow from 1.
BBC Six Music.
Is it technically possible to play just the very beginning of that trail again?
No.
I just like the way the man went,
Six Music,
at the beginning.
Right.
How do they get people to do that? And how do you get yourself into the frame of mind in a voiceover booth to say Six Music in such a kind of, you know, fashionable way?
Well, they'll give them a selection, I would imagine.
Really?
Some of the other ones, he's probably going, Six Music.
Six Music.
It's like, it's like he hates the station.
Yeah.
And someone's just threatened to hit him unless he says it.
Well, you know, that's the
Six Music.
But it's cool not to care, isn't it? That's why it's
That's why Lily Allen's such a big hit. It's true.
That's why it stung when that guy said I was eager to please. That hurts, boy.
Really?
Nobody likes someone who's
so unfashionable.
It's very unfashionable.
Yeah. Whereas I am
insouciant. But your true nature.
Yeah, it's true. It's so difficult, isn't it?
Goofy and upbeat. So, shall we wrap up? Are we in a position to wrap up text?
Yeah, we've got a couple here. We're asking you for your ideas for innovative new car adverts. You know? Do you know?
I think I do.
Yeah. Phil in Chorley says, millions of tiny ants, as opposed to giant ones, come as one, forming a giant car that weaves through mountains and trees before crashing into something, then splitting back into the hordes of ants that scurry back into their nests, a little sore but happy.
Yeah. What is that saying about the car? I mean, it's a visual feast.
It needs a catchphrase, doesn't it?
Yeah. Let's get
got ants in your pants?
Get into your car and drive somewhere nice.
That's good, man.
Yeah.
You just came up with that.
I just diddled it.
Ants in your pants. Yeah, you shouldn't say diddled.
Sorry, why not?
Carry on.
This is from Abby Kelly in Wealdstone. Car ad idea, colon. See a car, total silence, then suddenly headlights flip on. Grill on the front opens up, and huge ominous mouth with metal teeth opens up and starts talking. Really deep voice like James Earl Jones. Starts describing the features and the style of the car. Then it stops talking, does a huge thunderous burp, and out comes a family. Slogan then says, let the car do the talking.
Right.
That's got the family. That's quite good, isn't it?
Would the family be okay?
There'd be a bit of a stench. Right. They'd be wafting the weird burpy stench. That's pretty much it for car advert ideas.
That's a good lot, man.
There's another long one that I haven't read that involves Richard Hammond from James in Edinburgh. Do you want me to read that?
Yeah, go on.
a cliff overlooking the sea on an overcast day. Two medieval shepherds watch over their flock on the cliff's edge. Music, plain song. Shot of the sea, which begins to gently stir. Close-up of shepherd as he turns to watch the water. Rumbling heard from the sea, louder and louder. Music changes to prelude to Parsifal by Richard Wagner. Slowly a church spire raises from the ocean. Close-up to astonished face of shepherds. Spire continues to rise. Blah, blah, blah. Basically, a church comes out of the water. Richard Hammond comes out of the church. Driving in a car, the car stops in front of the shepherds, window rolls down to reveal a smug-looking Hammond, hands the peasants a kipper, in a clear reference to the aquatic lotus esprit scene in The Spy Who Loved Me.
What?
Yeah, you still with all this?
Yeah.
Hammond drives off, leaving the befuddled shepherds staring in disbelief. Letters come up on the screen reading, Renault, drive your imagination. I think that's just real. from James in Edinburgh.
My
well, yeah, I needn't have read it. You made me read it. It's your fault.
That's good. I mean, that's very thoroughly explained there.
That's it for Text the Nation this week, though. I think one or two listeners are going to have very successful careers in the advertising industry.
Yeah, exactly. We can all sell out together. So thank you very much indeed for all your texts and emails on that. There'll be more next week, of course. Now, Joe, this is your choice.
This is really good, and I'm sorry it's got put at the end of the show. I get the feeling that songs at the end of the show are somehow less important than the ones at the beginning.
No, man, it's the climax of the
show.
When
does listenership peak? Because I assume everyone's gone shopping at about 11.
No.
Not for our show. I would imagine most people, 9's a bit too early. I would imagine between 10 or 11 our listenership peaks to maybe 6 or 7 people. No?
No.
Anyway, this is a classic. This is a bit of hip-hop. It's by a group called Black Moon. I think they were all under 16 when they recorded this. It's a remix of one of their best tracks. Pretty sure it doesn't have any swearing in it. Now, I'm 100% sure. This is Black Moon with Gotcha Open. That's Black Moon with Gotcha Open. If you're a fan of the Hippity Hop, I do recommend you check out Black Moon. Not sure they're around anymore, but they were amazing. Their first album especially, I think it's called Enter Das Stage.
Enter Das Stage
is fantastic.
I didn't hear any filthy language there.
No, I think it was swear-free, which is unusual
for the hip-hop genre.
Very well done, young men, because they love swearing. They love to swear.
Nice to see some young men setting a good example for a change.
Now, we're both profoundly excited because we've just been told that Liz Kershaw is away, so Claire Grogan's sitting in for her, and we're both quite starstruck.
Exactly. We're not pleased, obviously, that Liz Kershaw is away.
No.
We're just happy that Claire is here and filling in for her.
There's going to be some quite awkward conversation when our paths cross in a second.
That's right. Especially for me, because I'm so eager to please.
You're so eager to please. I'm just going to be very laid back and, you know, Mr. Cool.
Just before we go, a bit of house cleaning for you, ladies and gentlemen. Things we were talking about earlier. The Who documentary is called...
Amazing Journey, the story of The Who, and it's available on DVD in all good DVD shops.
It's not The Kids Are All Right, which was an old concert film.
Nah, this is a new one.
Revamped and everything. This is a new one. I'm going to go ahead and get it right now. I'm going to step into dirty Oxford Street and snap it up, if I can. And I was talking about Lou Reed's album, New Sensations, not 1991.
What an idiot.
I was joking.
I knew that.
It was a joke.
What sort of a joke was it?
And you fell for it.
It was a bad joke.
You fell for it. You thought I was serious. I wasn't serious. It was 1984. Anyone would know that. 1984 it came out. And definitely because it's got a song all about video games called My Red Joystick on there.
How silly.
It's quite
what a
silly
song. Thing for him to sing about.
Ludicrous song.
A waste of time.
And another song on the same album called Down at the Arcade, where he talks about putting money down on Robotron. Which is a good lyric.
Sounds very stupid.
Anyway, folks, thank you so much indeed for listening to us this week. We've really appreciated all your texts and emails. Really nice to speak to some humans on the phone as well. We should
humans.
Do that more often.
Nice maybe. To speak to humans.
Nice. We like humans. Nice humans.
What's that, love?
The podcast.
Oh, yeah, the podcast will be available from, I think, 6 p.m. tomorrow. Yeah, and listen again all week if you want to go through the whole three-hour torture thing. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll see you at the same time next week, 9 till noon, here on 6 Music.
Stay tuned for Claire Grogan.
BBC 6 Music.